Well, turn to 3 John chapter 2. I'm going to do my best to wrap up this series today. I think I can. I felt like it was a little bit too much to bite off last week in order to wrap it up. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit gives me thought or gives me the thoughts, gives me the details on what to share, I think, why? And it's not so much that I'm a doubter by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that, you know, we teach on giving consistently. And so when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to kind of do a little series here on money, the thought goes, wow, people are going to be really thinking that I'm after something or whatever. And I'm not. I do the giving records. There's some pastors that are like, I don't want to know who gives because I don't want to treat them different. I don't want to treat, and first of all, shame on you. James chapter 2 talks about you if you treat your people different because they give or don't give. 9 times out of 10, if I see people that are not giving or if I don't pay attention, I don't go back and check records. But if I see people that aren't giving, it usually is something else going on. There's other battles going on in their lives, that just need me just to pray for those other battles. Majority, if not all the people in our body of believers are givers or tithers, except sometimes when they're going through the battles. They might have to pull back for something or whatever. Well, that's a sign to me that I need to pray for them. Not so they'll give, but for the battles that they seem to be. Now again, that doesn't make it right. I'm just simply saying that I think we all get into those areas, and the Holy Spirit does not just want us to be tithers. The 10%, the tenth of your increase is the starting point. It's where God wants you to start, and for a lot of us. And again, for a lot of us, that the tenth taps us out. It's about as big as we can think is like, if I can give a tenth, then I'm doing good. But that's just the starting point. That's just where you now have access to harvest. You now have access to heaven's goods. You now have access to heaven's promises. So you've got to get to that point where you get beyond just the tenth. Now, some of y'all might be, you just need to get up to the tenth. But we need to think beyond the tenth and not just bring our tithe, but bring the seed, bring the offering also, because that's the full picture of what God wants for each of us to do. He wants us to give. He wants us to give. Because the seed that we sow demands the harvest. But I would say that there's a couple things here. There's two points that I believe keep us from sowing the way we need to sow and possibly keeps us from tithing or the way we tithe. And the first thing is questioning God's thought pattern towards increase. And that, now again, I'm not saying that you don't know that, hey, God wants, we know 3 John chapter 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. I know what it says. I know what it says, Pastor. I'm not questioning you that you don't know that. I'm just saying that the enemy likes to come in and try to question you on those things. Well, you know let's read that just real quick, just so we can say we read it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, you know that. You've been tithing. You know that God wants you wealthy. Now you find yourself in a battle. And this voice comes to you, and he'll come to you saying a couple different things. The first thing he'll say is that, look, we know God wants you. You know, if you already got that, we know God wants you wealthy, but you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know. Maybe it's not his plan for you to be really rich. Now, if he can start getting you to doubt it, then he can start getting you to doubt your tithe. He can start getting you to doubt your seed. He can start getting that because he's messing with you on, does God really want you wealthy? And if he wants, and look, he may want this person really wealthy, but maybe because maybe that person is a paymaster, but I'm a teacher. I'm a I'm a person that does more just behind the scenes prayer. I'm not necessarily what you'd consider a paymaster. So maybe God just kind of wants me just comfortable. Just enough to where I can give my tithes and give that, when necessary. And when he starts messing with that, you really start doubting God and start thinking maybe I need to hold some stuff back. Now again, you say, well, I haven't really thought it like that. Well, you may have used different thoughts, but that's the enemy. The enemy wants to try to get you to stop, to slow down, to give up. We talked quite a bit this week and during our morning sessions at the advance, and one of the first things we were talking about was the tithe, and it was kind of interesting because what the enemy is after is not your money. He's after the relationship you have with God, and when you hold back your tithe, you're not going to pray the same. You're not going to hear from God. You're not going to have open access to heaven. You're just not going to. I mean, it's not. I'm not trying. You know, people that way. I don't know. I know people that. I know a lot of people that are prayers that are people who are prayers. But it's not the same as people who are tithers that have open access. I'll guarantee it. But even if you look at the. Even if you look at the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, he wasn't after the garden. He wasn't after the gold in the garden. He was after the relationship because he didn't have one. And he doesn't want you to have a relationship because he found something that when people in the Word of God had relationships with God, they were detrimental to his camp. They were detrimental to his system. When they had open relationship with God, they had money, which means they had power. They had power, which means they had influence. They had influence, that meant people came to them. People came to them, so guess what? They heard about a good God. And they got in relationship. And then the system just began to grow in. So if he was able to keep you, if he's able to keep the people, God's people from being able to have relationship, and so what does he do? He goes after the tithe. He goes after the tithe. Or he goes after the understanding, does God really want me rich? Well, that's what we spent, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks just where we just went through scripture after scripture after scripture, thing after thing, where God said, I want you wealthy. If you'll come to me, if you'll hear me, if you'll yield to what I say for you to do, then you're going to be wealthy. If you don't, you won't. But if you do, you will. Well, that hopefully we have established that as about as strong as we can. But see, now here's the thing. You know, and you know, well, I like the prosperity message, but I don't think it's that simple. Now, A, it is that simple. B, it's not cheap. It's not. I want to say it's not that simple, but it is simple. It's just you got to do something. For God so loved the world that he gave. He wanted an increase, and so God Almighty himself had to give. And so why in the world do we think we're any different? If we want to increase, if we want to increase in the finances that God says it very clearly, then it's going to come because we are givers. Not because we have given, but we are givers. That God has open access. We talked about it last week, right there at the end of it. I remember getting really fired up, sharing with you about the tithe's not mine, so don't worry about it. And then God finished the thing where he said, the rest of the 90% is ours. And I'm not going to teach on that. If you weren't here last week, that's worth that, just that last bit, man. It lit me up and, but that last little bit just really hit me because When you say, that's all I can do, that explains why you're limited in your giving. Because that other 90% is just yours. I don't have a bank account. I have a bank account that I share with my wife. It's our bank account. And when we understand that that other 90% is not my bank account, it's not mine, it's ours. And again, if you're a tither, and that's what, then that's why you got to look at that other 90%. And so when you say, well, I can't give anymore, it's all I have. You need to change it and change the way you say it. And if you'll change the way you say it, it'll change the way you view it. You need to say, that's all God and I have. God, man, it's quiet in this place. I need to preach on something more exciting. But that statement right there last week, it grabbed my attention all week long. Because if you would dare say, you look at your bank, you look at your register, your bank register, and you're like, that's all God and I have. Man, that would be a slap in the face. Isn't this the one I just preached to you, Jessica? I think it was. That'd be a slap in the face. Not one of us would be daring enough to say that. Because we know God's system. God's wealthy. He knows the cattle on a thousand year hills. All the silver and all the gold are His. So if He says give it, He knows what He wants to put back in your account. You just got to trust Him. But giving, see, here's the biggest thing about giving, is giving messes, it messes with covetousness. If you're a giver and you're a generous giver like we've been talking about, you're going to deal with one of the biggest problems in why people don't prosper. And that's that area of covetousness. And we stepped into that last week. It was right at the end. We kind of got going in that. And at dealing with that area, that if one of the main reasons why people don't prosper in the things of God isn't necessarily that they haven't sown or they haven't tithed. It's the heart that's behind it, or covetousness that's behind it. Now we're going to look at several scriptures here. And I just want to deal with this area. Luke chapter 12, we're going to start there. A couple interesting looks here. And again, I think there's a couple things dealing with covetousness. I think when, obviously I believe giving is a very big sign of covetousness. If you are not free in your tithing, you're not freeing your giving, you are trusting in your money. And that's what covetousness is. It's the trusting of that money. When you're worried about other people's money, we've talked about, and we'll talk about it here. We talked about how Judas was concerned with Mary when she broke the alabaster box over Jesus' head. And he was like, what is she doing with her money? It was hers. Pastor Elisa, I think, said it the best. Who cares what she did with it? It's not yours. Amen. I remember when God talked to me about the tithe, and he said to me, he said, what are you going to do with Robert's paycheck? And I said, what are you talking about? It's not mine. I'm not going to do anything with this paycheck. And God said, exactly. I don't sit around trying to figure out what I'm going to do with your paycheck. I don't sit around thinking, well, you know what, if I was Neil and I got paid the big bucks that he gets paid, I would be doing this and this and this and this and this. No, you just stepped over into covetousness. Because what Elisa, what Steve, what Megan, what Jessica, what any of us do with our money, none of your business. So whether or not you've got a plan for my money, that don't matter. That's covetousness when you start thinking about everybody else's stuff, what everybody else is doing. Hallelujah. But I noticed this in Luke 12. And one of the company, verse 13, And one of the company, or the people that were with him, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divides the inheritance with me. Now think about this. Jesus is in there talking. He's speaking. Jesus is teaching people. He's letting people understand the kingdom of God. And in the middle of him teaching, some guy shows up and goes, Hey, Jesus, my brother over here hasn't divided my inheritance with me. And could you tell him to divide the inheritance with me? And Jesus' answer is like, Who made me the judge and divider over your stuff? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not somebody who rules on that. And if it's already been ruled over, then it's done. But notice this. Jesus says, verse 15, and then he said to them, Jesus is a good preacher because he never passed up a good illustration. Never passed up a good object lesson. He's like, oh, this reminds me. Beware of covetousness. Hallelujah. Don't you love it? I don't know that I've ever done this with anybody in this room without actually calling you by name, and usually it's something good. But have you ever heard of anybody, or maybe I've done it, maybe where I used you as an illustration secretly? And now some of you guys are going, yeah, you use me all the time. I'm like, no, I don't. Just because it may sound familiar to you, it doesn't mean I use you as an illustration. But, you know, what if before the service, Steve was like, Pastor Thad, you shouldn't, he's not saying this, you shouldn't tithe because of ABC, okay? And so I get up here in the pulpit and I'm going like, Just before the service, I was talking to someone, and everybody's sitting in here when he talks to me about it, right? I was talking to somebody about you shouldn't tithe because of ABC. Steve would be going, seriously? Jerk? Right? That's what he's doing. The man goes, interrupts what he's doing, interrupts the flow of stuff, and says, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. He's not been dividing the inheritance. And Jesus goes, who am I to be theirs? By the way, this reminds me, beware of covetousness. Dude, come on, man. But see, he came out. He was bold. He stopped the service. He stopped what was going on to get his point across because he was so concerned with money that he stopped the flow of the service. He stopped the flow of what God, what Jesus was doing. And he said, I need you to listen to me about this thing. And Jesus said, beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. It's not about what you have. It's not about stuff. It's deeper than that. Now here's the point. If your life is about the stuff, then you're covetous. If it's about the stuff, well, what do I have? Some of you are going, hold, Pastor Thad, I thought you said it's okay for us to have nice things. It is. But it's not about that stuff. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about your relationship with God. if you haven't heard Apostle Callahan's message from Friday night, it's worth listening to. It's not like we haven't heard. While he was teaching it, I looked at Jessica and I said, "Man, that's what I've been teaching." Because, again, there's people, like, you know, when in the faith area, the faith camp or whatever. And again, we do it, but it's more of a checklist to examine your life. It's not a list of what you need to be doing, what you need to fleshly cause yourself to do. But there's a lot of people that believe, like, faith is stuff that you do. I remember trying to speak it in the ministry team meeting several months ago, that faith isn't something you do. It's what's in your heart. And if it's in your heart, it's going to be what you do. In other words, faith isn't the fact that you've talked. Faith is the fact that you believe unreservedly that God wants you or that God has already done it for you. And so what comes from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, it just comes out your mouth. It comes out your actions. It comes out, you're happy, you're full of joy because of what's inside of you. That's what faith is. And when people are just trying to do the outside stuff, it doesn't mean they have the faith. It means that they're walking in it. It means you're probably going to trip up and slip up. And as I got done saying that, not quite in those words, but in similar words, somebody goes, no, the word's very clear. Faith is all about what you do. And I was like, you didn't listen to me. You just had that answer loaded up and ready to go. And so Friday night, Apostle Callahan says, we believe in the faith stuff. We believe in walking by faith. But he said, what we are is we're relationship. We're about relationship with God. And he said, if you will focus on your relationship with God, faith will flow out of you. You won't have to try to figure out how to live by faith. The woman with the issue of blood didn't try to figure out how to live by faith. It was a natural flow of a heart that was relationship with God. I just got to touch him. That's all I want to do is touch him. And that's what I'm talking about here is that your stuff, if your stuff is about what you have done, what you've achieved, if it's marks along your way, I'm successful because I got a new car. I'm successful because I've got a big job, a good paying job. I'm successful because I bought my house, had a big down payment. I now have my own property. I'm successful because I have this, because I have nice clothes. I'm successful because I have a new watch. I'm successful because I have new shoes. I'm successful because of all these kind of things. When you're looking at the outside to determine your success in life, you're doing what this man did. This man was consumed with, what should I get? What should I get? That should be mine. Now, apparently, his brother was the one who received the inheritance, and he just wanted him to split with him. But that's what this meant. He was concerned about what he had. When, beloved, we need to set our focus and set our hearts on whose we are. I'm my beloved's, and he is mine. And when I'm my beloved's and he is mine, my beloved, who again, the cattle on the thousand hills are his. All the silver and all the gold is his. When my covenant, when I'm in relationship with him, he's going to make sure that all the other things come in line. There's people that'll get the big car. And then we'll work obscene hours just to try to pay for it. And it comes out of their prayer time, comes out of their church time, comes out of their relationship time, comes out of that intimacy time, and that's wrong. Oh man, it's quiet in this Methodist church. Jesus deals immediately with the area of covetousness. How important is covetousness? Here's how important it was. How many commands did God give in the Old Covenant in Exodus 20? Gave us 10 commands. Gave us 10. And you say, I don't believe we live in it. We don't live under them, but they still are there. I don't live based on, was that part of the 10 commandments? No, I live based on relationship with God. But because of my relationship with God, I'm gonna make sure there's no other gods before me. I'm gonna make sure that I'm not stealing. And, I'm gonna make sure that because it's relationship, it's what flows out. If you're focused, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So as long as you're walking after the Spirit, you don't need to memorize the Ten Commandments. Why? Because those will flow out of you. Those will flow out of your spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, then my goodness, you need to have the Ten Commandments on the wall of your home, on the wall of your bathroom. You need to have them posted in your car. You need to have them posted at work. You need to walk with them, because if you're walking after the flesh, you're going to have to reminded to do those things. But out of 10 commands, 3 of them have to do with covetousness. The first one, right off the bat, says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's covetousness. When you got other things that you worship, other things that you want to take care of first, that's covetousness. What do you want more than God? Nothing. Really. Look at your schedule. Look at your money. Look at your bank accounts. Now answer again. All right. Man, I just came out of the Word Advance. I've been in the Word all week long, okay? If I'm stepping on toes, that's not, I'm not, I'm, I, can I say this one more time? I said this last week and it lit me up too. Last week I was so busy just letting it flow from my spirit. People think, now I'm not saying all pastors are like this, okay? But people think that I preach this stuff to try to influence you to give because I need money. The church needs money. There may be some of you that figure, well, that's why he's hitting it so hard. That's why he won. It's because we owe this money on this and we owe this money on that. And we got this money coming up and we got this money. And that's why he's doing it, is because he's trying to get us to give. And last week, the answer hit to me so much. And again, there's pastors that do that. But you know what that is? You know what that is when I'm preaching something to try to get your stuff? Well, that's covetousness. Remember what I just said about, I don't need to be worried about your stuff. But man, if I can get Ruth to give more, if I can get Beulah to give more, if I can get Doc to give more, if I can get them, if I can get some more of their money, I'm operating in covetousness. So you know what? If I want more, if I want increase, you know what I do? I bring my tithe into the storehouse I bring my tithe into the storehouse. Bring all my tithe into the storehouse. There may be meat in his house. I prove him day in and day out. I walk in that proving that a blessing will come upon me, and that not enough. I bring my tithe, and that rebukes the devourer for my sake. I bring the tithe. That makes sure my seed produces a harvest on time every time. I bring my tithe. That causes me to live in a delightsome land. And then I bring my seed so that I have a harvest. That's how I deal. That's how I get increase. Why I preach it is so that you can receive the word and receive the same blessing I receive. Now any pastor that does it the other way. I've heard of a pastor. I heard a pastor who's trying to get his church to give more money. So he brought his family up in front of the church and stood them up there. And they stood there. And he said, see these people here? When you don't give to the church, they go hungry. What's he after? Their money. You know what I'm after? I'm after you prospering. I'm after you increasing. I'm after you walking in the blessings of God. I'm after you seeing the benefits of living how God said we should live and enjoying all the increase. It is my favorite thing to watch you guys increase, because I know exactly what's coming when you guys increase. More money. I watch how I'm going. It's working, and if it's all work to get them that much, they're going to give more because the more is going to come. I like it when you guys sow seed, because that means you got a harvest coming. But I love it when your tithe is different, higher than normal, because I'm like, that's some of that past seed. It worked. It worked for them. So he said, no other God before me. Don't go after stuff. Don't let anything be what you worship and what you yield to. He said, he also talks about not stealing. Which again is covetous. It's wanting what someone else has. And of course the third one is don't covet your neighbor's wife. Which is again, the only woman I want is mine. I'm my beloved's and she is mine. I don't go around coveting. You follow me on that. That's that three different commands. Three different of the ten. Three of them. This shows us, beloved, that covetousness is a major thing to deal with. It's a major problem. I heard Keith Moore years ago say it like this. Love God, love people, enjoy things. Because he says he's giving us all things to enjoy. But if you find yourself talking about anything and just saying, man, I love my car. God doesn't say love things. Love God, love one another, enjoy your car. Last year at this time, Jesse and I had an opportunity to trade in our van. It was a little sooner, but it was up there, man. We'd had it for 3 years, 4 years, and a little over 3 years, somewhere almost 4 years, and it had almost 140,000 miles on it. We drive a lot. this week alone, man, I'm guessing we drove close to 1,000 miles just going back and forth and all that kind of stuff. So we drive a lot. But we had the privilege of doing that. And it was so fun to be able to go there. And we actually had a little bit of equity. Actually had made some money on the deal. Because our last car, the red one, the beast that had no mercy on us. We had lost money on that one. So we actually were above, and so we were able to, it was less shock. Our everything went down a little bit, and we're like, praise God on that one. And we got a brand new car. Man, anybody that's ever had a brand new car, that's a blessing, isn't it? To sit in that car and to know that I most likely don't have to worry about anything going wrong, but if I do, I can take it into the dealer and they'll fix it free of charge, hopefully for 3 years, maybe just 36,000, depending on what kind of car you get, right? But it was awesome, man. We went down to, a couple months later, we went down to, Destin for vacation and we had our vehicle and we're just driving. And it was hot. It's hot. It's hot in the summer. And it was hot driving down there. But I was like, man, I got a new car. It's so awesome, so peaceful. The summer before that, we drove through Atlanta on a 100-degree day with a car that had over 100,000 miles on it. And I kept watching that thermostat and then standstill traffic and 101 degrees temperature and stress is hitting me. I'm like, I ain't worried about traffic. I ain't worried. Well, I'm Thad Callahan, so I like it when traffic's not there, but I really enjoy that. But you know what? The day that I'm having to try to get more money just so I can pay for my car, whatever like that, I've missed it. When my life becomes about that car, I'm wrong. That becomes covetousness. Love people. Love God. But if God's blessed you with something, enjoy it, but don't live your life based on that thing. Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit... Again, I say this, all God is interested in is relationship. He wants you. And because of relationship, see, I've got this relationship with Jessica. And it made me so happy. Sometimes, you know how they have it set up for your all your car registrations? They have it set up for your birthday. And so we got four vehicles. And so right in February and March, because both of our birthdays are right that area, we get to pay all this extra money to take care of those. And so sometimes we make sure that Ryan has a good birthday and we'll try to get each other something or something like that. Well, the Lord, I was blessed on Monday night to be able to preach at the Word Advance. And so I was able to get my wife just an awesome jacket. I'm sure she'll wear it sometime, you know. North Face, it's cool. I mean, I was so happy. You don't understand how Jesse was like, you should have bought that. I was like, shut it. You're mine. And it made me so happy just to get to bless her with a really nice coat, because that's what she was wanting, a jacket like that. And see, that's where love people. Love the beloved. Use your blessings. Use your finances. Use what God gives you in substance to be able to bless others, to take care of others, to take care of your spouse, to take care of your kids. I love taking care of my kids. I think my kids just know if I'm around mom and dad, I'm probably going to get something. I'm probably going to get something. So they like hanging around mom and dad. Amen. Some kids don't like hanging out with their parents, because all they get from their parents is, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? No, we give them money and then we no. Relationship. That's what he's after. He wants us to love him. He wants us to spend time with him. That's the primary thing. And he does not want your car, your job, your house, anything else to come in between that. And that's why he deals so strongly with covetousness. Notice what he goes. In Luke 12, let's move on. Verse 16. It says, and he spoke a parable unto them. So he's dealing them with covetousness. He says, so he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, again, we're not dealing here, when we're dealing with a rich man, God never says it's wrong to be rich. He talks about, we may talk about it here today. If we don't, we just may miss it, because I feel like I'm supposed to wrap things up today. In 1 Timothy, he says, I charge those that are rich in this world, and he does not charge them to not be rich. You shouldn't be rich in this world. He said, don't trust in it. Don't be covetous. Don't set your focus on that. But set your focus, trust in the living God. He never says it's wrong to be rich. The rich young ruler. See, God wanted him to give away everything. He didn't want him to have anything. That's not what he said. He said, you're lacking something. Now, what was he lacking? He was lacking seed. He was lacking all that kind of stuff. But what he had was covetousness. He walked away sad because he had a lot of possessions. And he liked those possessions. And those possessions were more important to him than relationship. So God never says it's wrong to be rich. Ever. But he says, man, if you're rich, it's so easy to allow your money and your stuff to get in your way. There's people I know, seen it too many times, that work hard, that give, that tithe, to get a blessing from God, and they get to a point where, hey, you know what, we've got enough. We can buy ourselves a nice little fishing boat. We can get ourselves a fishing boat and we can go out on the lake, and then they work all week long to pay for that fishing boat, and the only day they have to go out on the lake to go fishing is Sunday morning. I've seen it happen. My home church, there was a family that was a good family. My dad kept warning them, don't, you gotta watch yourself, because they got their fishing boat. And all the boys in that family loved to go fishing. The dad loved to go fishing. And they missed church left and right, because God had blessed them with a new fishing boat. You follow me on this thing? We got to guard ourselves. I love the fact this week, because this week has really unlocked more of what it's again, it's not added to it, because I was talking about it last week. But it's really unlocked this area that all what God's after is you. He's after us. He wants us in relationship. He wants us intimate with him. And when stuff gets in the way of that, when stuff becomes more important than that intimacy, so he said, there's a ground of a certain rich man who brought forth plentifully. Lot, increase. And he thought within himself, the rich man thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Okay, here's the first thing you did wrong. And I'm not giving you points. I'm just, this what point up. And this may not be the last time you ever hear me say this. But anytime you look at your bank account, anytime you look at your increase and think, what should I do? You've said the wrong word. You have identified something that is a problem, and that is that you're in a covenant partnership with God Almighty. That is relationship. That is when I got blessed for ministering on Monday night and had that, I didn't sit there and say, man, what can I buy? I could get myself this and I could get myself that. What was I telling you, Jesse, that I wanted to buy that was going to be several hundred dollars? Headphones. Ryan, for his birthday, he got blessed, you know, for his birthday, and he pulled all the money together and he bought himself a pair of Bose headphones. Not the top of the line, but the one just under the top of the line. And it's just like, you know, if you've ever heard Bose speakers, it's just like crystal clear. And I was telling him when we were up in New York, I'd forgotten my headphones. And so I was like, I need to go pick up just a pair. And so I told him I'm going to go pick up a pair of headphones. He goes, are you going to get Bose? And son, you don't understand. I don't wear headphones enough to do it. And I don't ever see myself placing an importance on Bose headphones to the point where I go spend $350, $400 on a set of headphones that I'm probably not going to use. I just don't see myself. And his answer was, well, maybe you'll find it under a Christmas tree one of these next Christmases. I said, that's fine. That's up to you. That's not. But I was telling Jessica about that, and she said, honey, you got paid a good amount for preaching on Monday. Why don't you just go buy yourself one? You got the money. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how I think, though. That's not just my money. That's not. Now, some of you are going, well, that's poverty mindset. No, it's not. I've got too much to do with it. We sowed a lot this week. We've given a lot this week. We got two kids that like to eat and like to do stuff that we keep giving them money on, stuff like that. We got our Ryan on Wednesday is bringing his four roommates and him are coming to Moorhead. They're going around to each other's house, and on Wednesday is our turn. And so they're going to come. They're going to play ball at the rec. They're going to go up to Lakiji, and then they're going to church on Wednesday night. So don't get nervous in the service. We're going to have a lot of young guys here. We're going to have church. We're going to feed them. We're going to have them overnight. We're going to make breakfast for them in the morning. It's going to take a little bit of money to feed five college-age students. And Ryan, Allison's going to come home. Katie's living with us. So we're going to have a house full of people there. So I'm not going to just go, you know, spend money. Well, are you afraid God's not going to get it? No. Now, if I felt God saying, I want you to go do it, I would do it in a second. Because I know that he's behind it. But it's not, I've got so much more I want to take care of. I've got more I want to do. I want to buy my wife a nice birthday present. You follow me on that? So I just don't think about it. I didn't get that check and look at it and go, look what I made. It's look what we get. Look what we have in our account. And we need to look at that more and that, you know, I know, you know, a lot of you, several of you are married in this place and you can look at that same way. But if you're not even married, when you get blessed, you can look up at God, you look up your covenant partner and go, look what we got. Look what we have access to. That's the first thing I notice about this man. Is the first thing he says is, what shall I do? What am I going to do? He starts brainstorming what he's going to do because I don't have any room. Wrong, is it a pronoun? Is that what that is? I think it is. It's what shall I do? No, what shall we do? All right. So that's the first thing. I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. Nowhere in this has he inquired of God. Nowhere in this has he said, I need to bring this to this to need to bring my tithe, need to sow this, need to give to the poor. I mean, goodness. Now again, are you worried about his stuff? No, God, Jesus uses him as an illustration. And it says it's a parable. So this is not, it's not a man down the road that he heard of. Right? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods and my fruits, my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you got a lot of stuff laid up for many years. Chill. Quit stressing. Quit worrying. Sit back. Take your time. Eat, drink, and be merry. Right? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to. You can sit back and do nothing. I'm reminded of many times where we say things like, I can't wait until this money comes in, or I can't wait until this comes in. And if you're being honest with yourself, it would be, I can't wait till it comes in, so I really don't have to live by faith anymore. I can just eat. I can pay my bills. I can be happy, and I don't have to stress about it. I don't have to live by faith anymore. And I laugh at that because if you're having trouble living by faith when you got a little, you're going to be messed up when you get blessed, when you get a lot. That's just disappointing information, right? Amen. I talked about that last week. I'll leave it alone. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, than those things which that you have, which you have provided, then whose things shall be those that you have, that you have. See, he was covetousness. He was full of covetous. I'm having trouble with the endings of that. And all he was getting was what was mine. And God said, what happens when you're gone? What happens when you leave? What happens if tonight, because of all the building you've been doing, you're no longer on this planet. What happens to your money? See, that's the thing, beloved. When your money goes into the kingdom of God, you can have. Well, let's think about this. All right, last week, we wrote a check for $200. The last couple of months, it's been around $200 that we've sent for missions. Amen. And so you've put seed in the plate. Amen. That our man of God, John Paul, is going over to India, and he's ministering over there, and he's planting seeds where people are getting born again, families are getting born again, and kids are being raised in the church, being raised knowing about Jesus. And so now they're gonna grow up, they're gonna raise their kids because of what we're doing, they're gonna raise their kids to know Jesus. And see, you may be off the planet Earth for 100 years, but the seed that you planted, the stuff that you invested into others. How many of us, how often do we? Maybe some of you guys do more. I didn't necessarily listen a lot to Papa Hagen. I know a lot of the stuff that I know from Apostle and from Kenneth Copeland and stuff came from Papa Hagen. But a lot of you guys listen to a lot of his stuff. How many things do you remember of his stuff, maybe on a weekly or biweekly basis, where you think of something he said? Maybe you have a book that you like to read over and over again. And so his ministry is still working in you, even though he's been off the planet Earth he's been home with Jesus for several years now. And yet his word is still working. Therefore, seed that was sown to him that allowed him to write books and produce books. Seed that was sown to him that allowed him to be able to be a pastor and to teach and to sell videos and sell and to be on TV or wherever he was. Seed that was sown to him is still living today through you. But if you're being stingy, and all you're doing is storing up for yourself, and you leave planet Earth, maybe you're, it doesn't even say here he was leaving any for his family. I don't know if he's had a family. But either your family takes it, the government takes it, but you'll be forgotten because you didn't do anything to invest others. Amen? And that's what he's saying is we can't get to that place where stuff is more important than God. Let's jump here. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, and we'll start wrapping it up in there. Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. We'll start wrapping it up here, but I want to read this because I think this is the key here. This is where we need to be. Because again, some of you are going, so we don't need to be believing God for new cars or new houses or new. No, that God wants us to believe God for the bigger, the better. He does, but that can't be where our trust is. We can believe, you know, we need to invest into His kingdom and then let Him take care of our details. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Let's notice what it says here. And again, the beginning of this, it's giving a big description here of somebody that we need to stay away from. But in verse 5, notice it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Now, the New Living Translation reads it like this. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt and they have turned their backs to the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. All right. So, that would be somebody who is using the pulpit just to get rich. Just to abuse, to fleece their flock, to try to get their people to give so I can get rich. As with the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that all my ministry I've been perfect on this, but the Lord for the past several years, He's been teaching me that I can't, He's my source. You're my partners. You're who I'm in this thing with. I get to be in this thing with you. So I'm going to do everything. My part of this partnership is to teach, to fill, to equip you guys. That's my part of this partnership. So I want us to prosper, so I've got to teach. And the more God teaches me that, the more it changes how I preach. Some preachers don't like preaching about money. Why? Because it makes people uncomfortable because it's like the preacher wants their money. Listen, God wants your money. God, well, I should say this, God wants you. And if He's got your money, that's a good indication He's got you. Amen. But see, he says that these people that, notice it says, from such turn away, withdraw yourself. So if someone is there just using godliness for their wealth, yeah, I sow seed because of this. No, sow seed because you love God, you love people, and you enjoy what God blesses you with because you're part of His kingdom. Sow seed because you're part of His kingdom. Sow seed because that's the way His kingdom operates. How many times has He said, what can I liken the kingdom of heaven to? Oh, it's like a guy that goes out and sows seed. Amen. But the only reason to be godly is to be rich, is to get rich. He said, stay away from them. But notice this, because look in the King James, verse 5, it says, supposing that gain is godliness. But notice what it says in verse 6. But godliness, so what's our focus? Godliness. Godliness with contentment. Does contentment mean we're not believing for greater things? We're not believing for other things? No, I believe God all the time. That for the harvest, from the north, the south, the east, the west, come into this place. Come harvest of souls, harvest of finances, harvest of, come in harvest. But you know what? I am tickled pink this morning to get to be in front of this group of people to deliver the word of life to you guys. That God has blessed me and loved me to the level that He blessed me and He's loved me, that I get to preach to you guys. That I get to sit, stand, walk in front of you and deliver the word of life. It is the most awesome thing. If I sat up here, there's a lot of people to do. Where's all the people? I would prepare more, but, you know, I'm not going to prepare, you know, all the stuff just for a few people. That's what he says, godliness with contentment. In other words, while I'm here, I'm the happiest person alive. I'm the happiest person alive. I'm doing what God does. I've got a relationship with God. I'm pleasing Him. I'm sowing seed. I'm bringing my tithe. I'm obeying Him. I'm witnessing. I'm sharing the love of God with other people. I'm loving people. I'm loving people. I'm loving people. I'm loving God. And I'm happy. What happens when we're in that place? Godliness with contentment. What happens? It's great gain. It's great gain. That's where all these other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. Seek after them too. No. You seek after God and His righteousness and His kingdom, and these things just come to you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But we got to go after His heart. And I'm telling you what, beloved, that's what this whole week's been about. Everybody that has preached, everything that we've talked about in the afternoons this week, you're going to hear me say it a lot, man. Tonight we're going to continue kind of a series that we've been dealing with a little bit on some of offense and some love issues, not issues like I'm trying to correct things. I'm just some just love stuff. And again, I've just been meditating it all week. And do I stay on that? And the Holy Spirit said, just think about what God's been talking to us about this week. It's about relationship. And when you start seeking after stuff, when your bank account, it's not wrong to have a bank account. You and God need a bank account. You and God need a savings account. That's cool. You need to be happy. You need to say, God, look what we have done. Look at what we've saved up. Look what we got going on. If you heard Pastor Jim, well, we played it in here, but I love that story just to simply how he asked for a favor for his son, and it happened so quick, and he was thanking God for how quick it happened, and God said, I had to do it, and he said, why did you have to do it? He said, because you reminded me every day. The first part of that was, he said, will you do me a favor? And God said, yeah, I'll do you a favor. But he said, I want you to remember. And he said, I want you to be available at any time I call for. See, that's my beloved. That's that relationship. That's that intimacy that God wants. That stuff doesn't have us. God has us. We love God, we love His people. And all stuff is, it's just a tool to please Him. I love the fact that I had a car that I didn't have to worry about this week. I didn't have, you know, get the oil changed, and I knew I was getting me to Lexington and back, and 250 times this week. And it's so cool. It's a tool. It's a tool for me to use. My house, one of my favorite things, and I don't do it as much. I know there's a lot of steps involved in my house to get in the front door, but I absolutely love entertaining people. I loved the Super Bowl. We missed some people there, but I absolutely loved that, where everybody was in my house that God's blessed us with, and sitting in the kitchen, sitting in here, sitting in Ryan's room, sitting in Allison's room, and we're all, it's just this family get together. We're all there because God's blessed us with that house. And I love having that house. I love the fact that God's blessed me with that house. We even now have a little creek running through our backyard. It's beautiful. But that's what God wants us. What we have, your bank accounts are tools. And God says, hey, it's yours. It's your stuff. But because of connection, if I need something, I'll let you know. And I'll do all sorts of favors for you, but you need to be ready when I need a favor. Amen. But that's hallelujah. God wants us wealthy, but He just wants us to make sure that when, in all of our wealthiness, that He still is the center of everything we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And if He's the center of everything that we are, then, beloved, I'm going to tell you this very clearly. There is no limit to what He'll give to you. Because there's no limit to what you'll give to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this morning, I just want to thank You for Your Word. I trust that the words that came out of my mouth, obviously I didn't get through everything that I was supposed to do. And if, you know, amen. But I do think I said everything You needed me to say. Father, reveal to us hallelujah. Reveal to us our hearts. Again, I believe that I'm not trying to cause anybody pressure here this morning. That's not anything about this. Father, my only desire in ministry is to see my people, see the people that You have placed in my care. As my sheep, the sheep of this pasture, is to see them prosper. I want them, according to what the Word of God says, to be fat. Not necessarily physically, but but to be prosperous. Man, I want them, I want everything. I want them to walk down the streets and people go, man, I want what You got. That's all I want. That's all I desire. I want the sheep of this pasture to be a healthy sheep. I want the sheep of this pasture to be happy sheep. I want the sheep of this pasture to be sheep that other people envy. Not so I get the glory, but it's because we serve a God who's the great physician. We serve a God who was anointed with the oil of joy more than anyone else. And when we're walking healthy, wealthy, happy, then that means we have tapped in to the love of our lives. We have tapped into truly receiving what is our beloved's. And we can now be influential in causing other people to experience the same thing. But Father, we always have to start this stuff by looking inward, by examining our hearts, examining our lives, examining who we are, how we think, how we see things. Because when we get to that place where our lives are defined by loving God, loving people, and thanks. We enjoy them because they're a tool to get the kingdom taken care of. Hallelujah. When we get to that point, then there is no limit to what God can now put into our hands. He that is faithful over little will be made ruler over much. Hallelujah. So reveal it to us. Show us if there's anything that we have need to line up with your word. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.